Well, Father, we just ask you to quiet our hearts before you. Lord, we acknowledge that your blood is cleansing and it has accomplished the finished work that you were sent to do, that you sent your Son to do. Lord, we just ask you to be here tonight. Father, as we sing and proclaim the glories of the Lord, Lord, as we hear your word preached and taught and expounded and opened, Lord, we just ask that you would open our ears, open our hearts to receive fully what you have for us tonight. Father, we just ask, do your work in us tonight, through us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Peace is in my soul today. Yes, I feel it now. Yes, I feel it now. He has taken all my is mine, mine, blessed be his name, his perfect peace to me. It is mine, mine, blessed be his name, mine for all eternity. He has wrought in me a sweet and perfect rest in my raptured heart, and I can feel it now. His blessing moment keeps me saved and blessed.
It is truly wonderful.
You said about parking on the sidewalks in France. I've never been to Europe, but Gail's sister was on a high school trip years ago. And in Italy, she got hit by a car. Wasn't it France? France? Anyway, the woman that hit her rolled up over the sidewalk and hit her. And then she jumped out of the car and proceeded to holler at her for being in the way. So apparently you must have to stand way back from the intersections there or something.
In Europe, cars have the right of way. We were told that when we got the airplane, we were told that cars have the right of way. No matter any situation, a car has the right of way.
Really?
You do not. They don't have crosswalks or anything. You go to cross the street, is that okay? It was bad.
She ruined her shoe. Didn't get hurt, bruised a little bit, ruined her shoe. She threw the shoe. I would have brought it home and hung it up as a souvenir.
They go to school
at
the beginning of the waiters. The customer is not always right to do it. They went to school, they know what's right, they know how to do it. And so the waiters were too happy
for us. Luke.
I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are. Your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are. By your glory, in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are. Your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Oh my God, you are my strength and my song. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be, I just want to be with you. just want to be. I just want to be with you. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
One more time.
I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by,
compared to this, no.
then you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
One more time.
Little is much when God is in it. Later not for wealth or fame. There's a time when you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Oh, the blood of the Passover Lamb is applied to the door of life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. No Satan will bring accusations. I let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood.
It's not working very good.
Under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb, safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapons formed against me will stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb.
We better practice this a little more and get it a little better. It's a good song.
There's a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. But I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh,
one more time.
Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Hallelujah. Psalm 130. We'll stand as we read that chapter, but hold on just a minute. From time to time, I've preached on what I call the ferry boat. I take that text and title from 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 18, where it says, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good." And I've preached on that a number of times in a number of different places, because there are many rivers that we cross in the life of a Christian. And as I discover new rivers and new ferry boats to cross those rivers, I keep coming back to that text. As children of the King, God provides a ferry boat to carry us across certain rivers that we experience. Also in that verse, notice that it says that he carries over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 is the New Testament equivalent to that, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." And then verse 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And therefore, I believe in predestination in this account, and at least in this respect, and that is when we are saved, God has predetermined, predestined to conform us to the image of His Son. Predestination, not considering whether we are going to be saved or not, but once we are saved, we are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for each and every Christian, each and every believer. Tonight I want to look at just one river. So turn to Psalm 130 and let's stand as we give reverence to God's word this evening. Psalm 130. The entire psalm, only 8 verses tonight. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Aren't you glad for that? There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is a river of trials. You know what trials are? Trials are things that try our faith. That's a good way to remember trials. Things that try our faith. And we all experience trials. We all experience those things that try and test and prove our faith. So we need a ferry boat there. When we come up against trials, we need a ferry boat there. And the ferry boat that God offers to take us across and take us through the river of trials is hope, is hope. As we look at that psalm tonight, we're going to look at it in pretty good detail, and we will see that the thing that will carry us through this trial and through the depths is hope, hope. But first of all, the psalmist said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. The Christian life is one of crying out on a regular basis, because the Christian life is full of impossibilities. You know that? Do you know that it's really impossible to live the Christian life? In your own strength, it is impossible to live the Christian life. And there are all kinds of impossible things for us. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. The Christian life is full of impossibilities, and yet Jesus said that with God all things are possible. We're only able to carry out those things. We're only able to do those things through the power of Christ that is in us. David said in Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. The word cry out, sometimes it's translated cry out, other times it's translated call. We are to cry out, or we are to call on the Lord, evening, morning, and at noon. And God promises that He will hear our voice. In Psalm 50 and verse 15, it says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So what do we do in the day of trouble? Call out. Cry out to God in the day of trouble. What does God do? He delivers us. We do what we're supposed to do, and then God will do what He's going to do. He's going to do what He's supposed to do. Call on God in the day of trouble. God said, I will deliver you. And then what happens as a result of that? God is glorified. He is glorified. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Here's some things about crying out. First of all, the cry is the very signal. It is the precise signal that activates the power of God. Now, we have seen this work in our family, but especially between Debbie and I, as we have talked about this and made certain things an object of prayer. And remember the sermon I preached just a few weeks ago on Remember Me? That was examples of people who really were crying out to the Lord. Samson, Hannah, Job, David, the thief on the cross, all of those cried out to God. They said, God, remember me. And when they cried, God heard them. And God sent his power and did mighty things for them. The end result was the Lord got the glory. The cry or the call is acknowledging my total surrender and dependence upon me. We cry when we have exhausted all human possibilities. When things become impossible, that's when we tend to cry out to the Lord and beg him for help. And we've seen this when we've been made a prayer on behalf of someone. You know, it's like God has changed the heart of that person. We've seen it happen. In my own life, I've seen God give me victory in areas that I tend to have iniquities in, areas that I tend to want my own way in. And God seems to give victory when I cry out. And it, interestingly enough, I found this in verse 7 of Psalm 130, where it says, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. If you have iniquities, if you have tendencies to want your own way in certain areas of your life, and you know that having your own way is not good for you there, you know that it's not healthy. In fact, you know that having your own way and wanting your own way so bad over God's way is really iniquity. God promises that when we cry out, he will save us from our iniquities. Instead, he'll give us a desire to want God's will done and not our own will. And then God distinguishes a cry from a prayer. Those two words are not the same. Whenever you find two words in the Bible that are spelled differently, they have different meanings. They have different meanings. And you know what? God wants us to be precise. God wants us to find out exactly what those words are. We tend to just categorize something because we don't want to do a lot of study or something about it. I mean, there's words like grace and mercy. Some people say those are the same things. Those words are not the same. Some people say that sin and iniquity is the same. Those words are not the same. They are different words. They have different meanings. I also believe that there is a distinction between prayer and crying out. If there was not a difference, God would have just been able to save himself some ink and write one word. Pray in the day of trouble. But David, the psalmist, could have said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. But he added, and cry aloud. There is a difference. God distinguishes a cry from a prayer. And then God regularly puts us in impossible situations so that we can cry out to him. He did that when he told his disciples to row across Lake Gennesaret, even though he knew that a great storm would hinder them and stop them. Here's this storm raging on the sea. Where's Jesus? He's in the back of the ship, fast asleep. He did nothing, though, until the disciples woke him and cried out to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then, when Jesus heard their cry, he got up and he spoke peace and he calmed the wind and the waves. And then you know what happened with those disciples? Those disciples feared exceedingly. Same thing as Psalm 130 and verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. God promises in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God answers the cry in ways we know not, or in other words, ways that we wouldn't think of on our own. Sometimes when we cry out to God in impossible situations, God gives a word of knowledge, or God gives a word of wisdom. Things that we never would have thought of on our own, God implants that to us so that we understand. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes God does the miraculous, and we just stand back in wonder and in awe and amazement of what God has done. Other times He gives us the knowledge to be able to work things out. A Spanish philosopher once said, if we ever got honest enough to go out into the streets and uncover our common grief, we would discover that we are all grieving for the self-same thing. His words call to my mind the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The word common means not unprecedented. However peculiar we may think our trials are to us, they are just common. The one thing that we all have in common is trials, and they are all common. Jesus said through Peter in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange or some foreign or some uncommon thing happened unto you. So when we do have trials, we're not to think that this is strange. We're not to think that we are the only ones that go through this. It's not some uncommon thing that is happening to us. All Christians experience trials and temptations, and we experience similar trials and temptations. All of us then can identify with the words of the psalmist, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. I think we are familiar with the depths. And the Hebrew word here for depths is used of a man caught in deep and dangerous water. Out of the depths, out of the deep and dangerous water, the psalmist said, have I cried unto thee, O Lord. I think it's interesting that the psalmist doesn't identify what his specific problem was. He doesn't name that problem. He doesn't name that trial. He doesn't name the thing that he is drowning in. He simply used a non-specific term, depths. Out of the depths have I cried. You know why? I think that the Holy Spirit did that on purpose. Because if the Holy Spirit would have allowed him to identify the depths, we would have limited the words of Psalm 130 to that one particular problem. So as it is, the word depths is like the socks I'm wearing. One size fits all. We can apply this to our lives no matter what the depths is, no matter what the situation is, the trial is, the temptation is. We can cry unto the Lord. That's the point the psalmist is trying to get us to understand. Whatever the particular depths may be, the psalmist tells us what to do. And here is the ferry boat. Number one, cry out to the Lord. The psalmist says literally, I have cried and still cry. That's the meaning of the tense of the verb there. I have cried and I am still crying out of those depths. Evidently, his situation was going on when he wrote those words. He is writing about an experience that he is having at that particular moment. It kind of puts an immediacy, a right now, to his words. Understand, the author is not writing about history here. And he's not just coming up with a theological theory. There is something that is going on in his life at that moment. He is writing out of a right now experience in his life. Very often these depths in which we find ourselves, you know, have often been wrought by the providential hand of God to teach us to know ourselves before the Lord and to learn of His grace and forgiveness. Donald Gray Barnhouse once said, sometimes we think we have fallen out of grace only to find that we have fallen into grace. We've not really fallen out of the boat into the depths and out of God's grace. Sometimes we fall out of the boat into the depths and into God's grace as we experience His desire and power through us and through that trial. And Alexander McLaren said, if out of the depths we cry, we will cry ourselves out of the depths. Listen to that again. If out of the depths we cry, we will cry ourselves out of the depths. When you find yourselves in the depths, if you cry at that moment, you will find that you will cry yourself out of the depths. I think of Jonah here, crying from the depths of the belly of the whale, crying from the depths of hell itself, and God delivered him out of those depths. And now it was a unique situation in which he found himself in. This is one trial that probably is common to Jonah. But yet when he cried out of the depths, God caused that whale to spit him up on the bank, on the shore. God will do the same for us. If out of the depths we learn how to, first of all, cry out to him. See, in crying to the Lord, we take our mind off the depths and we put it on the rock that is higher than I. When we went down for Lowell and Jill's surgery, we had a little bit of a scare. Debbie had changed Andrew's diaper, and I was sitting there and I was watching him, but I had him in the water previously, and he was always trying to get away from me. He was kicking, he was always trying to get out of my arms in the water. And Debbie had changed his diaper, turned her back, and the first thing he did was head for the water, and he jumped in. And we saw him, and he was trying to swim, but he was underwater there, and I saw it, and so he moved right away. Debbie came running, and Brian Niedermeyer came running, and he's underwater, but I could see that when he saw me, he'd reach up his little arm, he'd reached his little hand up, and because although he was in the depths, when he saw me, his mind went to me. Here's Dad. He's going to rescue me. He's higher than I am. He's out of the water. He's in safety. And he reached up to take my hand, and I was able to grab him and pull him out of the water. And I think that that's the situation we find ourselves a lot of times in. We're in the trial, and we look at the trial, and the thing keeps getting worse. What should we do? We should look to the rock that is higher than us. We should look for the hand of Jesus as he reaches down to save us and to pull us out of the depths. Reach for the rock that is higher than you. And then in crying out of the depths, we discover what kind of God we're dealing with. What kind of God is it that we are dealing with anyway? Look at verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Nobody would be able to stand if God counted all of our iniquities against us, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. After calming the storm, the disciples feared exceedingly, and they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, they were scared. They were terrified of that storm. But when Jesus calmed the storm, they feared exceedingly. They even had more fear, only their fear was now directed at him. What manner of man is it? Who is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his voice and listen to his command? Isn't it ironic that they cried out for the Lord to help? They asked for his help, and then when he helps them, they don't believe it. They're overtaken with great fear. You see, the reason they had fear was because they had learned a new dimension of the Lord's power. Yeah, they had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him cast out demons. And so they knew that people's bodies were responsive to his command. They knew that evil spirits were responsive to his command. But now they see that even nature is responsive to his command. And so when Jesus stood up and he said, peace be still, and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm, the disciples said, what kind of man is this that even nature obeys his voice? When the Lord brings us out of the depths, we gain a new fear of him because we learned a new dimension of his power. Wow, the Lord is able to deliver even in impossible situations like this. I've seen him do other things before, but I have never seen him do this. And it develops a holy fear for the Lord and his power a new dimension of his power comes into focus. So cry out to the Lord. Number two, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I wait for the Lord to act is the idea here. In verse 6, he says that those who wait for the Lord are like those who wait for the morning. Now, there are two important things to remember about waiting for the sunrise. How many of you have ever seen a sunrise? Anybody not seen a sunrise? The only way some of you have seen a sunrise is because you've stayed up all night. But you can't rush a sunrise. Often we want to. I remember some of those all-nighters. I remember being a youth pastor, and that's one of the things I don't miss about youth pastoring, Pastor Craig. I didn't enjoy those all-nighters. It got to be 2 or 3 in the morning, and I would love to have morning come right then. I just couldn't wait for morning to get there. But I learned something. I learned that setting my watch ahead didn't fool the sun. It wouldn't come up whether I set my watch to 7, 8 in the morning or not. Because the sun is going to rise when it wants to. And you know, it's the same thing with the Lord. You cannot rush him. You cannot make him do things ahead of schedule. And with God, timing is more important than time. Timing is more important than time. And God's timing is always perfect. He's always right on. And so the first thing is, you can't rush the sunrise. The second thing is, the sun does rise. The sun always comes up. There is always a new day. Those who are waiting for the morning, do not wait in vain, because the morning always comes, and the Lord will always come as well. Those who wait for the Lord, do not wait in vain. He will come. He will act. He will deliver. Time spent waiting for the Lord is never time wasted. In fact, in the Bible, waiting on the Lord is not passive. Waiting means to give service to. And so while you're waiting for the Lord to act, you continue to minister to him and to serve him. And remember the tense of this verb? David said, I have cried and I am presently crying out to the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. And the third thing here is hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Cry out to the Lord, wait on the Lord, and hope in the Lord. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now, as you know, the biblical idea of hope is not hope so. Rather, it is confidence and trust that God will keep his word. Also notice there, verse 5, mentioning confidence that God would keep his word. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. While you're waiting, you hope in his word. You have confidence, you trust in his word. And we really can't wait for the Lord if we don't have confidence in him anyway. So to the psalmist, this confidence, though, was based on two things. Base your confidence on two things. Number one, God's goodness. In verse 7 we read, for with the Lord there is mercy. Mercy is a part of God's goodness. God is good. And the second thing that you can base your confidence on is God's greatness. With him is plenteous redemption. As sure as the morning comes, God and God alone will redeem his people. So great is his power to set men free. If you ever feel like you're in trouble, maybe some of you feel like you're drowning in trouble even tonight. Maybe some of you feel like you're going down for the third time. Try the psalmist's suggestions. What do you have to lose? Cry out, wait, and hope. It's really a simple threefold formula. And it's something that any of us can do. We can cry out. We can get on our knees and literally cry out to the Lord. And we can keep on crying. And we can wait. We can wait for the Lord, because the morning will come, the Lord will come, and the Lord will answer. You do not wait in vain. And the third thing is hope. Not hope so, but confidence, trust. While you're waiting, hope in His Word. Find scriptures that would reinforce the hope that lies within you. Find scriptures that reinforce your hope, why you can hope in God, and why God will never let you down. The promises are many. The promises are there. They're many. God would love to have you read His Word so that He can strengthen your faith. So cry out, wait, and hope. The threefold ferry boat that will carry you across the river of trials. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? There are things that try our faith. There are things that are probably trying your faith, even this evening. I just want to encourage you that God has provided a ferry boat there. I call it the ferry boat of hope. The ferry boat of hope. But it really involves crying out, waiting, and hoping. But see, you cannot cry out and you cannot wait unless you have hope. Unless you have confidence that God is who He says He is. And God will do what He says He will do. And so if you are experiencing a trial here this evening, I wonder if you would just say to the Lord right now, Lord, when I get the opportunity, I'll cry out. And then I'll wait on You. And I'll hope in You. I'll put my trust, I'll put my confidence where it should be, and that is in You. See, the sooner you stop hoping and trusting in yourself, the sooner God is able to send that ferry boat along your way and pull you out of the depths. The more you struggle, the more likely you are to drown. They say it's very difficult to save a person who is drowning when they're struggling. They have a tendency to pull the person down who's trying to save them, and sometimes they both drown. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord will drown, but I'm saying that as long as you're struggling, He's going to let you struggle. Maybe after you've swallowed 20 or 30 gallons of water, you'll give up the fight and you'll reach your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, save me, deliver me, redeem me. And you know, at that precise moment, He will do it. He'll do it. Give Him the opportunity. Give Him the chance. Father, You know the prayers of our heart this evening. You know how many are facing trials. You know how hard it is for us to give up and let You take over. But I pray, Lord, that You would give us grace, that we would be able to do that. Lord, out of the depths, we would cry unto You. Lord, help us to make this a regular part and practice of our Christian life. And Lord, we do wait upon You. We wait upon You as we wait for the sun to rise tomorrow in that same way. Lord, we know that we can't rush it. Help us to be patient. And Lord, we know that it will come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And Lord, we pray that You would increase our ability to hope in You through Your Word, through Your goodness, and through Your great power. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if we could take our songbooks tonight and let's sing The Solid Rock. Page number 116. Let's stand as we sing this. A great song of declaration this evening. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. and righteousness. Dismiss in prayer. I wonder if there's a testimony. Anybody have a testimony on a time in your life when you cried out to the Lord and God answered? You would strengthen somebody's faith by that tonight. If anybody has a testimony, would you be willing to share that? George?
Well, about a year ago, I got hit by a semi. And he was pushing me down the highway sideways. I was right in front of him, and I was looking at his headlight and his tire. And I don't know how many times I said it, but I said it many, many times. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm here tonight.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes. I didn't ask for deliverance, but I wasn't thinking about it. I don't know what I was thinking of, but I was thinking I was going home to be with him. I'll tell you that. I figured that was it.
Amen. I think when you cry out, you don't have to have polished words. Jesus is enough. Right. That's all you have time to do anyway, sometimes. Amen. Anybody else? Debbie?
It's the same type of thing with my uncle, except for he wasn't a Christian, and he was in Oregon. His windshield had gone out, but I don't know the whole story, but it was raining very hard and all sorts of odd things and sleeting and stuff like that. He was about to go in the ditch, and his truck started rolling, and just out of, I guess, profanity, he said, "Oh, God," you know, and he thought he was going to die. That's what he said, but He was not touched, not hurt at all, and then he realized that, and that's why he became a Christian. He was like, you know, I said that, he said, you know, it just felt like that's why I was saved. He said, even though I said it out of the wrong way, he said, you know, God showed himself to you. So.
Amen. Anybody else?
I don't blame you.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll look for more testimonies in the future.